RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. We get a very energetic episode this week with lots of action, lots of vigilante action, lots of psycho action, lots of Russian dinner conversation. I don't know. There was a
little bit of Russian action in there.
There was some Russian action.
A nice little fight sequence going on.
So we've got quite a bit of stuff to talk about here for the very exciting 99th episode of Arrow. 99 episodes. Wow. It seems like they're building up to something.
Well, like 100th episode?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess. So,
but well, yeah. 99 green arrows flying around the summer star city.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't take time to write a song for that one. Sorry. I should have seen that one coming. Somewhere around 97th episode, probably.
I was going to say there are probably many listeners that are fine with that right now. So,
well, in that case, you're welcome.
Well, why don't you tell us about the latest episode, Vigilante, here, Josh?
You don't have to call me names. I'll tell you about the episode. all right, episode 7 from season 5, Vigilante, aired November 16th. 2016, day before Life Day this year. That's when that was.
Ah, yes, it was.
Yeah. This particular episode is written by Ben Sokolowski and Emilio Ortega Aldrich, and directed by Gordon Verhoor. It's not the guy that did the Showgirls movie, is it? I'm thinking of somebody else, I think.
I think you are.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Sometimes the truth is a matter of perspective. The new vigilante, a.k.a. Vigilante, prowls the town, protecting the citizens from the low life of Star City. But he does it by murdering them. Team Arrow thinks that's taking the protection of the city just a little bit too far. So they try to track down the newest bank robbers in town so they can catch the new self-proclaimed protector before he kills again. Now, they even disguise themselves and rob a bank to draw him out, but Vigilante even evades Oliver after giving him a lecture about not doing enough to save the city. Oliver contemplates this new revelation with his new interest of the female persuasion, Susan. And in the meantime, Thea tries to get Quentin into rehab after he confesses that he's been drinking, blacking out, and has begun a new throwing star collection.
Cute.
Interesting. You know, you got to have a hobby, especially if you're trying to get healthy, you know. So in the past, in the flashbacks, we see that Konstantin Kovar, which I cannot say without a Russian accent.
Very nicely. Very good.
May not be the enemy that Oliver thought he was when he learns that the Russian mob boss has made a deal with the Bratva. That, and in addition to the, you know, blood stains that will probably never come out of that white shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not the enemy that Oliver thought he was, but he's the enemy that Oliver needs. I think that's what it comes down to there.
That's a pretty good description. He's still not a very nice guy, so.
No,
although,
but it's...
I gotta say, though, honestly, after being stabbed in the hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, and being beat up and everything, he didn't kill Oliver. He let him live, and... He wasn't really that mean to him when he talked to him. So
I was just trying to beat some sense into him, you know. Yeah, and because he knew it was going to come out of his pay, right? But I got to say, just seeing Dolph Lundgren, you know, play this, it's a perfect fit for this actor.
It is.
You know, and I know Dolph's not Russian, but I'm sure you and I and many other people very much equate him with a Russian from Rocky IV. I mean, just growing up with him and, you know, I think he's doing a great job without chewing the scenery too much. I think he's taking appropriate bites, I guess.
He's using his good table manners as he eats the scenery.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Right off the bat, I wanted to point something out that like completely didn't occur to me until I posted the show last week. Which was that we had talked about this on the show, but I just didn't make this distinct connection. We talked about how Prometheus left this fiery message for the team, right? So it begins. Well, in Greek mythology, of course, the character Prometheus stole fire from the gods, which, you know, aka knowledge. But the fact that he left a fiery message, you know, and he's called Prometheus, it was like, haha, you know, I thought that was, I just wanted to point that out because I didn't want people to think we missed it. Not that anyone wrote into us saying, hey, you guys missed this or anything. So
how dare you?
No, but it's just one of those things, you know, I mean,
no, that's good though. We like finding little things like that. And when I say we, I mean you.
By me, I mean you. Yeah.
I like when you find them because I'm not very good at spotting them, but you're usually really good at catching those. And that's a great one. That's a great one. I think that's very symbolic of what he was doing. I mean, they could have sprawled graffiti. He could have left a message in any other way, but they didn't. They went with the fire, which was perfect.
Right. And if you like finding, you know, things like that, we've got a lot of stuff in the references today that I've been doing some research based on some comments I made last week. So we'll get to that later. Meanwhile, in news not from The Onion, a crazy effing Arrow fan actually attacked Stephen Amell. I don't know. I saw this come up on my news feed, and I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
No, you got to tell him why he did it, because that makes it even worse.
Well, let me tell you. So what happened was Steven's up working in Vancouver.
Vancouver, right.
And so I guess this was an Instagram post that he put. From his Facebook page. So this is what Steven says. Dude came up to me yesterday, headbutts me hard out of nowhere, then says, I want to fight the Green Arrow. Paused, looked at him, shook his hand and said, no, thank you, because I'm a father and a husband. Pretty manly, if you ask me. But holy crap. I mean, like, he's got like a little cut on his nose and he's got a partial black eye. Stephen Amell does from it. I mean,
I bet it got worse because that looked like it wasn't too long after it happened.
Yeah, that looks like he was right on the street. And the news article, I said, you know, could you imagine someone had done that to Kiefer Sutherland, you know, 24's Jack Bauer? It's like, you know, he probably would have gotten that opportunity to fight Jack Bauer. But Steven's classy. I mean, that's cool. But I mean, seriously, people, he's not the Green Arrow. All right. This is just an actor. Don't be like this with celebrities. This is bad behavior for people that aren't celebrities. So,
it was a shame to see that, but I was impressed with the way Stephen Amell handled it. So, he really is somebody I think you can look up to in a lot of different aspects of his life.
Now, has that ever happened to you at a convention, Josh? Has anyone ever come up to you and said, "Hey, I want to meet you, man," and then headbutts you?
Generally, no. It's more of the laughing and ridicule kind of thing more than the headbutting.
Pointing and mocking, derisive laughter.
Exactly. Yeah, right. It's like, that's what you look like?
I apologize. I'm really sorry. I didn't know you took it so personally.
No, I understand. I understand. You know, every time you see me, though, I would have thought you'd know what I look like by now.
No, it's just that you keep getting worse. oh my God, you're getting so old, man. So
it does happen. It does happen. Well, sorry, Steven. I promise if you ever meet me, I will do that to you. I'll give you a hug.
Seriously, I'm going to headbutt you when I see you next time now. I'm just going to come up out of nowhere. Just bam! Schwabong right there. So,
all right. I'll be expecting that. Face gear when I'm going to meet you.
Oh, yeah. See if you can borrow Wild Dog's hockey mask, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I got to get used to that.
So, well, before we get started on the episode, though, let me just let everybody know we will be off next week because Arrow is off next week due to the Thanksgiving holiday. They will return for their 100th episode. Happy syndication, everybody, on November 30th, which is also happens to be the third part of the quote-unquote four-part crossover, though my guess is it's really just a three-and-a-half-part crossover. It sounds like Supergirl pretty much is going to do a mostly normal show and then kind of connect in at the end. I'm only saying that because we thought all four shows were going to be called Invasion. Her show is not called Invasion. Everybody else's is.
That's not really a four-episode crossover.
I know. So, I mean,
it's a character crossover, but not a episode crossover. Right at the end, you know, they're just going to go, oh, Kara, thanks for solving all of our problems again this week. We'll see you next. Wait, who's that? Barry, what do you need? Come with me quick. And then you know, go to credits.
Come with me if you want to live. And and they jump out. Yeah, her episode's called Medusa. And then Invasion, 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 which is kind of cool because Invasion was a three-part comic series. So the fact that the other three episodes are called Invasion, I think that's cool. So anyway, so we'll be back in 2 weeks after this one. So everybody enjoy your Thanksgiving day here in the States. And for everybody else, happy Thursday. So you mentioned at the top of your brief part of a quote from the episode, which was, I believe, Konstantin Kovar mentioned this to Oliver at the end of the flashbacks, which was, truth is matter of perspective.
I think he mentioned it to him several times, actually.
And you're right. That is true. And that is a very important, it's weird how, you know, the flashbacks are informing the main, you know, the A storyline again. I think would, you know, that's cool. It's something that we've missed, but the truth is really about the perspective of the person talking. Obviously I think Oliver, you know, Oliver has been one that kind of can bend the truth, you know, to suit his own purposes. But in this case, you know, with his team, who have been calling him out, actually Evelyn, more so than others. But last week, since they found out about the fact that he also was the Hood, AKA the Vigilante, you know, it was basically going on a murder spree back in season one. You know, he's like, well, it's not really like that. And really, you should do as I say and not do as I do or did at that point. So there's, you know, there's a lot of discussion in the group about, you know, are we psychos or are we vigilantes? And, you know, what's the difference? It's really about who's talking, you know, because I think you could say that, you know, from the police perspective, as we had seen in the show, you know, Oliver was a vigilante. But from our perspective, as you know, as the viewers of the show, you know, he was more of a hero, though he was definitely working outside the law, you know.
Yes, so. Yes. And when and kind of, you know, and thinking about, let me take a couple steps back. The people of Star City see the Green Arrow as a hero. And partially, we were reminded that they don't believe that he is the original Arrow. So that guy that was killing people in the first season, the people of Star City don't, you know, they don't understand that they're the same person. Right.
They believe that it was Roy, I guess, right?
Right, right. So that's one way to look at it, you know, the people looking at him as being a hero. But apparently this vigilante guy, that's, you know, the truth about what he's doing is he's saving the city. He's stopping the people that are ruining the city, and Oliver's not getting it done. Or, well, the Green Arrow is not getting it done. And so he is doing something about it by killing him. To him, that's truth. You know, truth is it can be a matter of perspective. It can be how's that? I didn't mean to go there, but it did go there. You know, it's what you believe is true to you, even if it's not true to somebody else, and that is their perspective. So I think that's what made Oliver think so much in this episode as he was contemplating how much he really was doing, and yet I think he still believes it. He still believes in what he's doing. He just doesn't think it's working anymore.
Let me ask you this. With the vigilante, I believe that the contrast of seeing what Oliver does compared to the vigilante makes the vigilante seem extreme. But if we were to remove Oliver from the equation there, the Green Arrow, and just looked at the work that vigilante is doing, what are your thoughts about that? Is he still as extreme? Is he any worse than the Hood was in season one?
Oh, so we're comparing him to season one Oliver.
Or not. I mean, you can or just remove Oliver Queen from the equation completely. I'm just wondering, like, you know, if you saw news reports about this guy, And you know, he's killing people. He's taking bad guys off the streets. You know, the police may have denounced him. What's you as Star City resident? You know, what are your thoughts about this this vigilante?
I will share my personal thoughts and personal philosophy. And I've never made any I've never tried to hide these feelings about my views of superheroes or vigilantes or whatever group you want to put all these people in. Killing the bad guys, to me, is morally wrong. We have built a society and a culture in this country with the idea, I'm going to be very clear on that, that we have laws set in place to make sure that people are innocent until they are proven guilty, and that they are to be tried in a just and fair way. So we are supposed to be a country that our laws protect the rights of all human beings. And if you're a criminal, you have to pay the consequences. And that could mean jail. And in some states, it could mean the death penalty. But even when we subject the death penalty on people that have been found as guilty, it's supposedly done in a way that is not torturous and cruel.
Humane, I guess you could say.
Humane, that. Yeah. I hesitated to use the word humane because you're killing
them. You're killing
them,
right.
And of course, people have different attitudes about that, and I won't even get into that because those are people that have been tried by the justice system.
Okay.
What the vigilante is doing is going completely against that philosophy of law and government. And so, to me, yes, I think that is extreme. Now, would that be extreme in another country where those laws don't exist, you know, where they do just execute criminals no matter what the crime?
Sure. When we're thinking this is in the United States, right?
That it's, yeah, of course. So to me, yeah, that's absolutely extreme. What Oliver was doing the first season by killing those people without any kind of
due process
was also extreme. And I, again, have never made it a secret that that I felt like that. That I think that the heroes killing the bad guys is not okay.
So Oliver has gone through this journey from killing people to not killing people to realizing that, you know, there might be those extreme moments where he does have to make the decision to take a life, but he'd prefer not to. That's what we're getting now, is that he sees there's a better way. Previously, he has said, okay, there are times and it's difficult. Diggle's had to wrestle with this. And then he sees this vigilante out there taking care of business. he also sees the fact that Vigilante is basically sending a message. Oliver points out, you know, because you mentioned the justice system. Basically, Oliver says he believes in that, except that he may feel that there's a failing in that system, that the vigilante is, you know, filling. He didn't use these words specifically, I don't think, but he's filling a void, you know, where that system fails. And it sounds like Oliver is actually questioning that system that now he's a part of, you know, being mayor. I mean, yeah. You know, not even talking about the Green Arrow portion, but just the Oliver Queen portion of the character.
But I would hope that being mayor, if there's a failure in the system, yes, you definitely have to do something about it. But going to the extreme of killing without a trial, I don't think is the solution. And again, a lot of people could argue that it doesn't solve the problem if you have these, I don't know if you want to call them liberal views of solving crime and things like that. I don't know if that's what it is or not, but and maybe that is true. However, if you're doing the same things that the criminals are doing, to me, it doesn't seem like a good solution either. So, I don't know, this is all me on my soapbox. So,
No, I mean, it's a perspective, Josh, and it's fine. I mean, I'm not saying that one way or the other is better, but that's what this show is, you know, those are the questions it's asking us as a viewership and as a society. And, you know, so we're just,
yeah,
we're talking about that. So,
well, and I think Oliver's questioning it as well.
Truth is a matter of perspective. Going back to that, who else do you think is questioning the truth from different perspectives? What else? Who else does that apply to in this episode?
Well, I don't even know if we mentioned, but like the flashback, obviously, the truth of
sure.
Konstantin Kovar being a partnership with the Bratva.
That's not true. But that's impossible.
So,
oh, wait, it is. Okay.
Oh, you really are. Yeah. I wonder if Anatoly knew about that.
That is a good question, because this guy, wasn't this the guy that was kind of pissed at Oliver like two episodes ago, where he was telling him that you're not really Bratva, you know, it's like, you know, we are all, you know, because we're all Russian, we're Bratva, but, you know, you're just some poor stray or something that Anatoly brought back. So I don't know, but yeah, that's a good point. In the flashback, there's definitely a difference in point of view, more from the fact, I think, of dissemination of information as opposed to philosophical or moral beliefs.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Just because Oliver doesn't know what's going on, so.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I was trying to think of if it was just if there was something else going on there that Kovar wasn't telling him. But
I'm sure Kovar's got some sort of nefarious plan that, you know, like he's going to say that he's working with them, and then he's going to, like, you know, assassinate all the leadership or something, you know, along those lines. But right now it's just basically that Anatoly didn't know or chose not to tell Oliver because, you know, it's like, well, you don't, you know, it's, he doesn't have to know. It's, you know, not. There's no reason to tell Oliver all this stuff, and all he, Anatoly, you know, knew from Oliver is that he wanted to get close to Kovar. It's like, all right, well, I got you close to Kovar. You can kill him now, but, you know, Oliver's doing too much talking and not enough fighting.
Yeah, he got pretty close, way closer than I thought he could.
He didn't just finish the job. He was, like, going to walk out with him, and I don't know what his plan was, so.
He had to get away, too. I mean, he couldn't just kill him right there in the middle of the dining room. Otherwise, he has no leverage.
He could have. We know he survived. So whatever he does in the flashback means he's still going to survive.
Well, so. He didn't know that at the time.
Oh, okay. Well.
The other truth is a matter of perspective thing I was thinking of. Quentin Lance issues his letter of resignation to Thea. Because of things that have been going on. But it was interesting because they – you know, he told Thea that he woke up, he got blood, he got a cut on his arm, he has these throwing stars. But at no time did it ever appear that he believed that he was the Prometheus. I don't think he believed that that was even possible. But he was looking at it as, well, I got some bad ties here. I don't think it was just because of the alcoholism that he was sending his letter of resignation, right? Thea was kind of looking at that too, and she had to talk to him about, look, you're like a member of our family.
Right.
He's not our family, but to us, in my perspective, you're family, and we're going to help you do whatever we can. And then she started looking about what is the connection with Prometheus and understanding that there's obviously going to be an issue there.
Yeah, so, the resignation letter reads, it's just because it went by pretty quickly. It says, Dear Miss Queen, please accept this letter as notification of my resignation as deputy mayor, as I feel I can no longer perform my duties in an impartial and professional manner. It is with regret that I leave a role where I have worked with such a great staff. I'd like to thank you and the rest of the staff for all their support during my time at City Hall.
So he said duties.
Oh my God. That is a matter of perspective right there as well. Duty with as a, you know, a thing that you duty. So,
well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that did go by fast. And
yeah, I mean, and it was really, you know, you're right. He didn't appear to believe that he had done, you know, this horrible thing, because of course, just, you know, if drinking a lot of alcohol and blacking out all of a sudden gives you ninja skills and archery skills and allows you
more
to do
more people would do it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think more people would definitely be doing it. Well, I got some questions with the whole Prometheus thing that we'll come back to. Let's keep talking about Lance. Okay. Yeah, it really seemed like as Oliver asked, did he fall off the wagon? And it's like, no, he never really got back on the wagon. He was kind of just, you know, following along, you know, lapping up whatever the wagon was dropping, I guess.
he was lying about it because he is an alcoholic
It seemed like he was, you know, and it did. And I think this is how the disease affects a lot of people. It seemed like he was getting better.
Yes.
And we didn't know. And I don't think the show was trying to make us really think that he was Prometheus, as we talked about last week. I don't think it was really trying to hide the fact that he was drinking. It just, what I noticed in some of my research, I've been going back. I talked about wanting to do this last week, and so I did, because I said I wanted to do something, and I did it. Going back and looking at season one episodes, and he drank often, and he was drinking a lot in episodes in season one, if you recall, because, well, A, he was really pissed at Oliver, because Oliver was back, and his Sarah was dead. And so there was a time where, in episodes, you know, like, Laurel would go find him and he'd be, you know, getting blitzed at a bar and stuff like that. So he's had a problem for a long time, and, you know, he got better and he happened to relapse. So I applaud the way they're doing this, because it's not easy. They're not making it easy for him, just like they didn't make it easy for Laurel. I mean, when she hit bottom and stuff like that.
And it wouldn't be easy. So I'm glad they've been very open with how difficult it is. And the scene where they were standing outside the rehab center, I thought was really powerful.
Yeah. And like you said, Thea mentions that Quentin is like family. To them, I'm assuming she means to Oliver and herself. But also, I think that Thea, as I mentioned a couple episodes ago, is very much like a surrogate daughter to him now that he's lost both his daughters. And whether he has recognized that or not, I think there's, you know, there's some camaraderie there. And he is more likely, I mean, gosh, think back to season one. Like, would you have listened to season one, Thea? But no, season five, Thea has really come a long way here. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think once he decided that he was going to go to that rehab center, I think that he really was feeling that Thea was like his daughter. You know, I mean, not maybe not even consciously, but he did it, and he did it for her. Mm-hmm. When he was with her, so.
Yeah, so it sounds like he had gone through like AA meetings, but now this is kind of like one of those inpatient sort of rehab centers based on what I understand about you know, these kind of yep. issues and stuff like that. So, and then I think we've kind of already covered this a little bit, but just the truth being a matter of perspective for the way that Vigilante versus Oliver works, and the, you know, the team, especially Evelyn, you know, really is questioning Oliver's methodologies and whether or not it's okay to be out there killing the bad guys. I think it was kind of interesting to see Renee and Felicity kind of come down on the side like, well, It's not really that bad, right? I mean, he's taking care of these, but Oliver, you know, he's, as we said, you know, he's got his way, and it's his team, right? He's gonna lead them the way that he sees fit.
Well, interesting about Evelyn, though, because we found out a little twist at the end.
Yeah.
What is her matter? What is her truth, you know, to her perspective? What's going on there? So how does she really feel about Oliver as a vigilante / hero / whatever she views
this
him
as? I'm all twisted up by this now, because so we've been discussing like who is Prometheus, right? And the producers have talked about it's someone that Oliver has created. Okay, I can, you know, it's something Oliver's done has coming back to haunt him, or, you know, not, I don't think they mean like he physically made this, made this villain. You know, I mean, it was by previous actions.
Something that he has done in the past mm-hmm. has caused this guy or girl to want to be Prometheus.
Right, and kill the Green Arrow and Oliver Queen or whoever.
But the thing with Evelyn is I don't think that gives us any clue to who Prometheus really is.
No. What my first thought is, oh my gosh, who is Evelyn? And I'm like, well, no, we already know who Evelyn is, but do we? I mean, she shows up. We knew she was she was kidnapped by Hive and held in one of their underground bunkers. Her parents were tortured, I believe it was the story.
Yeah, and killed.
And killed. And Oliver didn't do anything to save them. And he has told her that it's like, it's not okay for her to, you know, she was going to go take justice on Damian Dark and maybe others. I can't remember specifically. And Oliver has told her, you know, that's not okay. And she's like, yeah, but you did it, you know, and it's the whole, you know, do as I say, not do as I do. But I'm wondering if there's more to her and her parents' story, you know, going back, like, was...
How old is Evelyn?
She's supposed to be 17, I think they said.
Okay, that's what I was saying. So 5 years ago?
Yeah.
She would have been 12.
She would have been 12, but... Could she be a foster kid? Was maybe one of her parents someone that Oliver killed, okay. And now he's and she was living with other parents, and that's why it was that much more painful, because this will be the second time she's lost her parents. I don't know.
Tragic.
What else was I going to add? Just going back to what I was saying about the producer saying that, you know, basically this character is someone that Oliver has created. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode of this podcast, Prometheus was a Greek mythological character that stole fire from the gods. But another version of the word Prometheus in terms of the word or the phrase modern Prometheus is Frankenstein. Mary Shelley called, I think the subtitle of Frankenstein was A Modern Prometheus. So in the, that's an interesting way to look at it in terms of Oliver creating this character, like, you know, because Dr. Frankenstein created, he just wanted to bring life to something, and he ends up creating a monster. And Oliver may have thought he was doing good in ridding the city of these, you know, people from his dad's diary or, you know, book, ledger, whatever it was. But he may have ended up creating a monster as well in Prometheus. And we that's the thing. Until we know who that character is, that's, I feel like they're building to a, hopefully, a really good, you know, reveal here. But here are the questions that I have from that whole thing, because like you said, we still don't know who Prometheus is, and it doesn't, knowing that Evelyn is working with him doesn't inform us of anything. So when did she start working with Prometheus, and why? That's, I mean, that is really the thing. Why did she start working with this guy? Was it, you know, because last week she seemed to really be fighting this guy. She cut him. I mean, and it wasn't like a show, you know, it was, Oliver wasn't there yet when she cut Prometheus. So I feel like it was something that she was doing. So maybe within the last week in between the episodes that, you know, she all of a sudden started having this falling out with Oliver about, you know, are we vigilantes or are we heroes or whatever it is? And she has a big problem with the definition. Maybe she decided to hook up with him or something like that. You know, in that, I don't know. Did you have any informed ideas about this or non-informed ideas?
No, I have absolutely no idea. It totally threw me when I saw that. I have no idea when she would be working with him unless that was all staged. And she cut his arm, and Lance's arm got cut, so that might have been the reason for that. I mean, they may have even cut Lance's arm before that fight. I don't know when she could have been working at him, and we don't have any clues. But if, you know, if Evelyn knows him or has been working with him, we don't know anything about Evelyn's past other than her parents had died. And so
and it's stuff that she's told us. So that's the other thing.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
You've got that unreliable narrator. It's like, well, we know all this stuff. It's like, we don't really know this stuff because we've never seen it. She showed up in one episode last season, told us her story. So she could have had an agenda prior to that.
Yep, that's true.
Prometheus is still known to, you know, have access to the SCPD lockup because of the weapons he builds are melted down versions of old arrows of Oliver's. So that's still, you know, that's still wide open. It's not Lance, or I don't think Lance would be doing anything like that. Again, it points to being Billy Malone because he's the new guy on the show, but I don't really think it is unless that's not his real name and, you know, he's really like, you know, Adam Hunt Jr. or something like that. Yeah, Adam Hunt
being
one of the first people that Oliver killed when he came back from the island. Well, here's yeah, so you're right. We don't know anything else about that. And also, I was going to mention it like you. I think you said it could be like a setup. It could be that Oliver has, you know, been very vocal with her about this schism between their belief of, you know, what's a vigilante and what's not. So maybe they're using, maybe Oliver's using her to smoke something out by telling her, pretend to go rogue or something like that. You know, maybe she's on a mission to do this.
Oh, like a plant.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, a mole.
Double agent.
Yeah. So here's what my research has turned up in going back and watching season one episodes. They are using a ton of scenes from season one episodes done in a different way. So far, I think the biggest one up till this date was the Oliver being strapped into the chair and freeing himself from the zip ties, which we talked about. That was from the season premiere of this season, and was directly referencing shots, shot for shot, and dialogue from exactly 5 years ago from the pilot episode, we've seen Oliver shooting arrows into tennis balls, which was taken from one of the first four episodes, one of the early episodes there. There's been Curtis was on the salmon ladder this week, but I went back and watched episode 106, which was Legacies. And it was the episode, if you recall, if not, you can go back and listen to our podcast on this. But it was with the Royal Flush Gang, which was a crew of bank robbers that dressed up in hockey masks with card designations on them. And the way the episode works is that Oliver, his interference causes the death of Derek Reston, who is the dad. And the son who was in the bank with him at the same time, Kyle, he was kind of the main impetus of this. The dad wanted to get out of robbing banks because they were close to getting caught. And Kyle told them, no, we got to keep going. So Kyle, the ace, got knocked out. And Derek sacrificed himself so that Kyle wasn't going to get shot by a cop. And the dad ends up dying. So everybody else gets, or at least Kyle gets taken into custody. So I'm thinking there's a very good example of a character that they could bring back, because he was a huge part of that episode, this Kyle character. He could be Prometheus, Kyle Reston.
Ooh.
And that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for.
Not sure how I feel about that. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know. Again, I don't know what they're planning, but you know, and it wasn't necessarily Oliver's fault, because Oliver was trying to save him and he shouted out for the cop to drop his shotgun and stuff like that. But of course, It would be very, you know, it would be very typical for this character, Kyle, you know, to blame Oliver for his dad's death. That's, you know, that's obvious.
And then spend 4 years learning archery.
Right. And, you know, dressing as an, you know, archer, a weird pseudo-archer or something like that. So
I love this idea that these episodes are connected to episodes from season one. And I'm going to go back and start rewatching those season one episodes to make some connections, because I think you've hit it, man. I think they are directly pulling, if not the scene, at least certain elements of season one as a reflection in season five. And I haven't heard anybody talking about this other than you. So I think you've hit onto something huge.
And it's almost episode per episode. So, I mean, this was the seventh episode of season five, and the one I'm referencing is the sixth episode of season one. There are a couple other really big pieces, I think, from that sixth episode of season one that were in this episode. I'm going to save those for our references section.
All right.
But, you know, if something important happens in a specific episode, and I haven't watched 107 yet, that's the first one with the Huntress. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, and it could be, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is not relevant, but there are some scenes that appear to be, and I'm listening for, you know, thematic elements, because that is probably the strongest place for connections to occur. One other thing I did want to point out in this episode too, just jumping back to the flashbacks that I feel, also fits in with that truth is a matter of perspective is, Kovar also says that the world is a complex place. He says, who is the monster and who is the hero? And I think that is also, working on the theme here, because like we were talking about at the beginning of our episode here, Vigilante, he's not doing stuff that's too much different than Oliver. And in another reality, Oliver could have turned out to be the monster and Vigilante could have turned out to be the hero. I think Kovar is using it to point out the fact that, you know, Oliver seems to think Kovar is the monster, but here is Oliver coming to attack Kovar. So from Kovar's perspective, Oliver's the monster.
That's right.
And
he was going to blow up his casino. He was going to kill him. I mean,
and Kovar's this nice guy. I mean, his friend of his lost her two children, so he offers her a job. I mean, he's a really nice guy, and she's a Russian maid, isn't she?
Yeah, I thought that same thing when she walked in.
It's not the same lady, is it?
No, it's not. Okay. No, I look closely.
Darn it. So anyway, I thought there were some convenient things in here. One of the things that I just, oh my gosh, I just cringed at when Oliver and his crew pretend to rob the bank. They're planning on really robbing it. I mean, they shoot like knockout darts into the guards, right? The guard walks out. We pan with him, and one of the robbers, I think it's probably Renee, is standing right there. But the guard chooses not to look in that direction and looks towards the camera. I've got a screenshot of this. This guy is the worst guard. It's just one of these so convenient things. It's like, you've got a flashlight. How could you not see this guy like right off out of the corner of your left eye? And we're supposed to believe that he couldn't. So
maybe this bank couldn't afford, you know, high quality guards.
He's got a walleye or something like that. And he can only see to the right or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it.
So there were a couple things like that. Vigilante hit Curtis with the gun on the back of the neck to, quote, knock him out or knock him down. And it looked pretty fake. But still, a lot of other cool stuff. The fight between Oliver and, oh, my God, I thought Dolph Lundgren really was hitting Stephen Amell. That sequence was beautifully done. So I got to give total props to Bam Bam for setting that one up. That looked great. And, again, I just... Lundgren's so imposing. I mean, he could probably just put his pinky out and it would look like he's hurting somebody, you know? So, well, we got a couple pieces of feedback here. You want to take this first one from Mark?
Yeah, sure. He's Mark on Facebook. He said, "Here's a quick theory on Prometheus. You guys got so close to it on last week's show, but didn't quite hit on this idea. It's very left field, but I think that Prometheus could be Boston Brand at Deadman, or someone with similar powers to his, jumping into different people like Lance and retaining his own abilities to use as the throwing star killer, just leaving his hosts with blackouts and scars. It's highly unlikely, but so far still holds up. Keep up the great work, guys." Well, thank you, Mark. Man, you know what? It really does hold up.
It also is highly unlikely.
it is highly unlikely, yeah. Deadman, boy, I tell
you.
Yeah. I don't know if he's lighthearted enough to be Deadman, this Prometheus guy, but
yeah, and it kind of begs the question, why would Deadman be wanting to do this? But you're right, it does hold up to this point. It's a very interesting possibility.
Yeah, I kind of like that idea, although I don't think they're going to go down that road just because of the kind of stepping away from the more mystical, magical kind of aspect of the story. But what a fun speculation to look at, man. That's cool.
I love doing this show because, you know, I watch an episode and I see, you know, these references, but then you come up with something that is like, I hadn't even considered, and I've watched the show like twice. And then we get, you know, letters and notes from people that watch the show as well and listen to us talking about these ideas, and they have yet an entirely different perspective on it. I mean, how cool is that? That, you know, the three of us, Mark, you, and myself, we've all watched the episodes and we've all got different ideas and theories about it, you know, just based on what comics we've read and what our backgrounds are and stuff. It's just really awesome. I love this.
And what we can use in our imagination that would be fun.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Our imagination.
Oh, interesting. I'll have to look into that. Yeah. here, look at this. Jason on Facebook, he's got an entirely different perspective on this. I didn't even do any digging on this one. This sounds kind of interesting. He says, "You guys are speculating." I think he started in saying that he was listening to the episode. And he says, "You guys are speculating the identity of Prometheus. Just had a thought that maybe he's Ubu, right-hand Talia." So Talia al Ghul. Now, see, as far as I know, Ubu is a dog. And that's the first thing that comes to mind. I'm not sure about the right-hand Talia al Ghul. So that sounds pretty interesting. And we know that there's scuttlebutt that Talia will be coming to the show later. And he does seem to have, you know, kind of League of Assassins training and clothing style. That's pretty interesting, too. I might have to do a little more research into that.
See, I love this. You guys give me way more ideas that I had never considered.
So, all right, I've been promising these. Here's some references that I found that really link this episode, Vigilante, to Legacies from Season 1. So the first thing is, in the Season 1 episode, a couple scenes in, we see Oliver and Diggle fighting with the Bastons. And this is the scene where you think it's... it seems like Diggle's doing the training, but then Oliver all of a sudden whacks Diggle across the face, and you realize that Oliver is the one in control of the entire fight, which is mirrored in this episode, except you've got two pairs of people with the Bastons fighting, and it's Diggle and Renee pretty much playing out the a similar scene, except that Diggle's now obviously the one in charge. We've got a gang of bank robbers in this particular episode in Vigilante, made up of three men and one woman, that wear masks, which mirrors the Royal Flush Gang, except that was a family, but it was three men and one woman. Also in 106, Oliver fights a member of the Royal Flush Gang in a bank. This was the aforementioned Kyle. And the fight is very similar. Oliver shoots Kyle with an arrow, then Kyle pulls the arrow out and shoves Oliver back through one of the glass teller windows. Just like what happens here, Oliver shoots Vigilante. Vigilante pulls the arrow out and throws him through through the glass that's one of the teller windows before shooting at him. So, you know, very, very strong visual and elemental similarities to previous episodes. They are... they're doing a good job of going back and looking at this stuff and, you know, Bam Bam setting up these fight sequences to mirror ones that he's already done, but they're still fresh. It's not that they're doing the exact same moves. So I think that's pretty cool.
I love this. I love this connection to the first season, and I'm going to keep looking for it now more intensely.
I got to tell fans, go back and watch episode 106 from the first season. It's amazing just to see the hairdos on some of these characters and remember, oh my gosh, yeah, Speedy had a crush on Tommy and she was drinking and throwing up and Laurel and Tommy were kind of hitting it off and Oliver was trying to sneak around and get away from John and stuff like that. It's really cool to go back and see that stuff again. And then there's a, I believe the DA gets a name of a motel where, the bank robber is holding up and it's called the Papp Motel, P-A-P-P, named after Green Arrow artist George Papp. So again, nice little, reference that they've thrown in there for us longtime fans. So I thought that was pretty cool. We haven't gotten a lot of those, lately, but I'm more than happy to look for this other stuff.
Yeah, no, that is fantastic. So now that you were mentioning the hotel, when he goes in there and gets what was his name, Dunn?
I believe so.
The main bank robber guy. He gave a little story about how he was caught for something that he didn't do. He was innocent originally, and he was a good kid,
yes.
And it turned him bad. That's kind of a matter of perspective, too, is how he got to be a criminal.
Good point. Yes. I didn't even think about that. That's always interesting there. So, all right. Well, like I said earlier, a lot of great stuff in this episode. We will be off next week. So have a happy holiday if you guys are celebrating that. And we'll see you in 2 weeks with our next episode of Green Justice.
And we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And if you did, leave us some feedback on iTunes. Just write a quick comment over there so people can check those out and then give us a try. Or you can contact us the way that Mark and Jason did. We'd love to hear you. You can get on Facebook like they did. That's facebook.com/Green Justice Podcast. And, of course, on Twitter, we're at Green Justice Pod. Or you could send us an email. Give us your thoughts. You can sometimes, you know, make those a little longer, more detailed if you want to do it that way. greenjustice@randomchatter.com. And I hope you guys have a great, great Thanksgiving out there.
You can also check out the other podcasts Josh and I host, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which the show has been off for a few weeks, but we had an interesting little discussion this week about the announcement for the Inhumans TV show, which was just announced this week. So check that out. And also the Scarlet Velocity Flash podcast, which you can find both those shows on randomchatter.com. Also, a lot of other great shows on Random Chatter. If you guys, you can find shows about Star Wars, about general geek culture, about music, all sorts of cool stuff there. All of our shows are available in the iTunes Store and also through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you're enjoying the podcast, please tell your friends about us. Bring us up at Thanksgiving dinner as a nice conversation starter. Say, hey, I listen to these guys talking about these cool shows, and you may be interested in that too, and see how that goes over.
That'll get people talking about other things that you don't want to talk about.
Right, definitely. I was going to say it keeps you away from the political conversations. That's your table. And remember, if you guys don't keep listening, you have failed the city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.